Well, I think that we found out in the last week or so that the old dogs can still hunt. And with me today is Denny Brower. And, Denny, you found him and did a great job down at the Sam Rayburn.
Well, I appreciate that, Terry. I felt like an old dog when the wind got to blowing hard, but I did find the right field, I should say, a good area anyway, and I just didn't find enough birds or bass in it, I guess.
Well, you know, the big thing about it is when you look at this bass fishing business, it really, you know, and we kind of kid about the old guys, and you and I are kind of about the same age, so we can kind of talk together there. But in reality, it doesn't matter. I mean, the guys that can fish, and the guys that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 60, you can still go out there and compete, and you've been able to do that for a lot of years. Now, Rayburn played pretty well for you, it sounds like.
Rayburn's been a good lake to me over the years, Terry, but really as you get older, there is a physical element in our sport, and when you get the rough weather like what we had there where you got to run a lot of waves to get back and forth, I was fishing a long way away, that does take a little bit of a toll. So, but it's still a game of decisions, it's a game of execution. And that's one reason that the older guys can still compete against these younger guys.
Well, you know, you talk about that, and of course everybody knows you've had four major back surgeries, and that's all doing well now. But, you know, the one thing that I think that maybe gets missed a little bit is the fact the young guys don't have that experience, that time on the water, to be able to maybe adjust at times. And, you know, you guys that have been around a while and have done this a long time, you might make those adjustments a little better.
Well, that's true. And I look at all the years that I've fished tournaments on Sam Rayburn Reservoir, and you think, boy, what an advantage that's over somebody that maybe that was their first tournament. But the reality of it is my finish came off of water that I'd never, ever fished before in my life. So you never stop learning. You're always out there trying to figure the fish out.
Well, Denny, I consider you probably one of the top most grinders out in the fishing business. You know, you're a guy that will go out there and make something out of something that maybe other guys would look over. And, you know, you've had a history of going out and taking that jig and a flipping stick and really going out there and grinding out your fish. Was that the same kind of tournament you fished at Rayburn?
Well, it really was, Terry. I felt I had one of the worst practices, probably the worst practice I've ever had on that lake. During those three practice days, I was just really desperate to find an area and find a pattern that I'd have confidence in come tournament time. And the last afternoon, I finally got a half a dozen bites in an area that I really felt had potential, and just went in, and all 3 days of the tournament, or 4 days, actually just grounded out in that area and had the one big day to get me into the finals. The last day, they just don't want to bite quite as good. They'd follow baits, and something changed there that I wasn't quite able to figure out.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and you know, that lake, of course, with Toledo Bend being down, has had a lot of pressure, but still big weights in the Elite Series event, and, you know, BASS in the last two anyway, Amistad first, and now this one, unbelievable weights you're seeing.
Well, you're seeing some awful good anglers out there at a very good time of the year. These guys know how to figure out the weather patterns. They know how to figure out exactly what mood these fish are in, and the ultimate result is high weights, and I think you're going to see that for the next few tournaments.
Well, your next stop, of course, is Santee, and that's not going to reduce anything either. That's a great fishery as well.
Yeah, Santee's a fantastic fishery. The one thing that could play a factor there is the weather. Those lakes are very effective by wind, and if we get some fronts coming through, high wind, where it bunches everybody up in little protected areas, then the weights could be spread out and might be down a little bit. But if we get the right weather conditions, it's going to be another blowout.
Well, let's go back to Rayburn a minute, and I want to make sure we talk about technique there. You know, of course, everybody thinks all you own is a flipping stick, and most of us that have been around this sport know you're pretty versatile as well. What were some of the techniques you used at Rayburn to catch your fish?
Well, I caught some of the fish on a spinnerbait. I did catch some of the fish on our new Strike King topwater frog, but actually the flipping stick accounted for the majority of the fish, and the day that I caught the big stringer, it counted for all the fish. I was using a flipping stick with the Strike King Premier jig and that new 3X chunk, just fishing cypress trees and little cypress tree points. And for about a two-hour period, you could call your shots. The fish got so right, got so aggressive that they'd almost swallow the bait. You had to hit them fast, and they just go crazy.
Well, that 3X chunk you're talking about, is that your signature chunk?
It's the signature chunk, you bet.
Well, you know, tell me about color combinations, too, if you can.
Well, I got real technical there. I went to a brand new color that we just came out with, black and blue. Nobody's ever heard of it before. No, the watercolor was right for black and blue, so I fished black and blue. I've kind of gone away from black and blue the last few years just because it is such a popular color. But those fish actually had a preference for it. I tried other colored jigs, and that was the particular color that they wanted.
Well, you say the watercolor's right. Explain that to me.
Well, I like the black and blue in water clarity that you can see 2-3 feet down into. And that's about what I had there. When it was calm, I could actually see the bottom in the areas I was fishing. Real clear water, I like to go to the natural colors like the pumpkin greens, those type of, the browns, anything like that. The muddy water situation that I normally find on Rayburn on the upper end, I go to a color called Texas Craw in our striking jig. That's got a little chartreuse in it, and they seem to really like that in the muddy water. So, you know, those three colors kind of what I are my standbys, but that black and blue, when I can get it going, it seems to really get some big bites.
Now, did you use a rattle at all, or did you go without one?
Yeah, all our striking pro model jigs have the rattles in them, and I think that's very, very important, not only to help the fish locate the bait, but to agitate them in the biting, especially when they're in that spawning type mode. A lot of times they don't want to eat, but if you agitate them a little bit, they will take a bait and run it out of the area.
Well, okay, of course I got to ask you weight. Now, were you using 3/8 or smaller, or were you using a heavier jig?
No, I was using a 3/8, mainly because I was fishing extremely shallow water and I wanted a little bit slower fall. In the wind, it made it a little difficult at times. I'd have probably been better off accuracy-wise with a half or with a 3/4, but I didn't want it burying up on the bottom. Most of the fish would get it on the fall, and I felt that that slower fall really played a part.
Well, you know, as you look back at the event, is there anything you'd have changed? I mean, is there something you thought maybe I should have done now in retrospect?
Well, we always do that. When we don't win a tournament, even once in a while when we win a tournament, we look back at what could we have done to improve things. But that particular event, I really felt that I got more out of the tournament than what I deserved. In other words, with the practice I had, I probably shouldn't have even made the top 50, and it just seemed like every move I made was the right move. So, you know, some tournaments you win and you're disappointed with. Some of them you finish 10th and you're elated with, and I'm probably elated with this 10th place finish just because of the practice I had.
Well, you know, Denny, a lot of people looked at last year and they thought, well, maybe Denny didn't fish as well, but you had some breaks that didn't go your way and actually fished okay last year. You just didn't have some breaks that you needed.
Yeah, physically everything was fine last year. I know a lot of people got to thinking about my back was bothering me again, but no, I thought I fished physically very, very good. I thought I made some poor decisions at times, which I guess is actually part of fishing, so you can look at that as fishing bad. But the mechanical part I thought was fine. There was just some bad breaks that happened along the way. You know, things that are just part of our sport that you hope don't happen. This year, let's hope some of those things don't happen and we can put all the pieces together.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the Elite Series. And I know you've been very positive throughout the process. I think going up to it, maybe a little skeptical at times, but you've become a pretty good proponent of what they're doing at Bass right now.
Yeah, I think they're trying something different, and I think you need to be trying new things, or with anything you're going backwards. And the new look with all the raft boats, the added exposure, the promotion that they're giving each tournament, the crowds we're getting, I really see some positive things coming out of this, and I'm excited about it. I still think our sport's got a long way to go as far as getting the payouts and the money right, but as we grow the look and draw more attention to it, I think corporate America will start to pay a little more attention, and maybe the dollars will go up to where more anglers can make a decent living.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You made a decent living with that flipping stick and with the rod and reel in your hand. I also want to mention that outstanding job on the classic coverage. I know Chad was there, so you probably had mixed emotions about doing that as much as you did. But, man, what a great job you did on the classic coverage, you personally.
Well, I appreciate that, Terry. That was a challenging deal when the weather hit and everything, but working with alongside Tommy Sanders and all the staff at ESPN, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It wasn't quite like being out on the water. Obviously, we all, as competitors, would rather be fishing, but it was certainly the next best gig in town.
Well, no doubt about it. The one day in particular, you guys were outside in front of the Coliseum there, and it got a little bit breezy for you.
Yeah, I really thought our whole set was leaving and going to get blown into the lake.
Well, you know, you look at this thing now, you're going to go to Santee Cooper, and as we wrap this up, you know, that's going to be another event that should play well for you. If you don't have those high winds and you don't have bad weather conditions, that ought to be one that you can do well in.
I'm really looking forward to that. I've caught them several different ways on Santee Cooper, so there you've got options, you've got confidence in different things going in. You never know. You never know whether you're going to hit it on top of the spawn and what the weather's going to do. I've never been in contention to win there, but it fishes the way I love a lake to fish. So I've got a lot of confidence going in, and I'm really looking forward to the event.
Well, I tell you what, Denny, it's always great to see you on the leaderboard where you were. You finished 10th overall at Sam Rayburn, doing well in the points chase, and wish you the best of luck at Santee.
I appreciate that, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.